Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show with Helen Foley, Randy Thompson, and Mike Draper. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit program going with a great lineup. Helen Foley is here, president of Foley Public Affairs and a former state senator. Randy Thompson is here, Nevada State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. And Mike Draper lobbies for Argentum Partners and is one of the partners. Pleasure to have you all here.
Good morning.
So, Helen, good morning. It's now 2 days as we're airing this program since the Reno Gazette Journal dropped a story by Anjanette Damon, and the headline of the story is Blockchain CEO and Wife Face Sexual Harassment Lawsuit from Former Lake Tahoe Area Nanny. Now, this is an accusation, it's an allegation, it is not a closed case, but how do you think that this is going to affect things at the legislature as regards the innovation zones, which is basically being promoted by the CEO of blockchains?
Well, it's quite a soap opera. You know, there are these stories that are coming out about innovation zones and how legislators feel about it. And then now this comes forward. We're all looking and watching and seeing what will happen. You know, I've taken a look at what legislators think of it. And I think one of the biggest problems is that it's very hard to understand what it's all about. What is blockchain? What is Bitcoin? What is the new type of technology, and how will it work? I think there's a lot of uncertainty about that. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I hope that it has time in the legislature to have a thorough hearing and understand more, because it's all very vague at this point.
And that's a fascinating comment, especially as blockchains have spent a fortune on television advertising and online advertising.
And lobbyists.
And lobbyists to promote the innovation zones. And a lot of contributions to various entities, including the governor, the governor's PAC, the state Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. But if you recall, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, Warren Buffett said years ago that he wouldn't invest in companies where he didn't understand the technology. Is that the concern that you feel the legislators have at this point as well?
Well, I mean, to this article, first of all, I'm one of those people of you're innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely.
And I think we should not be, I'm so tired of being crucified in the press for people. So I'm sorry this came out. It's an unfortunate situation for the woman who's accusing him as well as for the family. And the timing is definitely questionable. So I just put that aside. We've got legislators. We've got, how many freshman legislators do we have this year? Like 9, 10?
A lot.
Yeah, we have a lot. And these people,
out of 63.
These people are having a hard time finding the bathroom, let alone understanding what Bitcoin and blockchain technology is. And the legislators that have been there a while, with Senator Kefir's lead on this, they followed the blockchains and they followed what's happening and the cryptocurrencies and the cyber stuff. I mean, so some of the seasoned legislators, I'm sure, are getting it. But I feel sorry for some of these newbies coming in trying to figure out, you know, who's who, because until this week, none of us could even register to lobby. So they didn't even know they're getting phone calls from lobbyists who they have no idea who we are. So the confusion at that building is very high. And now you add in something that is so above most of our pay grades that I mean, I'm lost by it too. But I think it's going to be a real challenge. I'm sure it's an exempt bill, right? Because there's no hearing on it yet. And it'll be an interesting hearing. I'll put it that I look forward to the hearing.
Okay, so Mike, you're a public relations expert. You have been for many, many years. Is this a crisis management situation at this point?
I think it is because of what Randy and Helen just said. The challenge is going to be keeping the focus on a bill that needs to be fully vetted, on an idea that should be fully explored. And if all of a sudden now you're having to go and address a different difficult situation that came up, I think it's going to be very delicate on how that gets addressed and how that gets separated and doesn't take away from an idea that I feel this idea is definitely ambitious. It's definitely innovative. But what have the topics of our legislative session been so far? It's been housing, economic diversity, economic development. Well, here's an idea that proposes, whether or not it does is something that needs to be vetted, that proposes to address those ideas pretty significantly in one way, shape, or form. So it deserves to be fully vetted and fully explored. And something like what's come out in the paper with these allegations runs the risk of distracting from a very important conversation.
Helen, it's obvious that there are going to be multiple special sessions that occur after the main legislative session. But my question to you is this, with all that has gone on with the Me Too movement over the last several years, how much of a problem does this create for a governor who's running for re-election and a state treasurer now who's drawn into this, who will be running for re-election?
Well, certainly you cannot blame those elected officials who have taken campaign contributions for the actions or inactions of a person. But, you know, there will be other special sessions. We have to have one for redistricting. The Biden stimulus plan is not, those funds are not gonna be directed to the state until almost the very end of session, and we have to close the budget. So I think if this issue is not finalized now, hopefully it will air some more. You know, Maggie Carlton said, I can't vote for something that I don't understand, that I couldn't explain to my constituents and to my family. And so I think there needs to be a lot more discussion on this. As far as someone's activity that came out this morning with the sexual harassment, that needs to be seen, but you cannot blame elected officials. They had no knowledge of this, and it's not their deal.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more with our great panel after this timeout.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel going with Helen Foley, Randy Thompson, and Mike Draper. Randy, you brought up an interesting point during the break here, and I wanted to raise it on the program, which is, you know, why can this not all be done within the confines of Story County versus having its own government? And to be honest with you, that is, personally, my only objection to this is, mm-hmm. I think it's a terrific idea. I think we should have all great ideas come from Nevada and spread worldwide, TRI being a fabulous example of that. Yeah. But what's wrong with doing it through Story County?
Well, yeah, so I've read that he said he wants to create a streamlined government that is all communicative, that, you know, your marriage license or your deeds are all on their blockchain. So I get that, but why not, as we talked about, become an incorporated city within the county and operate your own little thing? But the county resources, I mean, a friend of mine who's a judge said, are they gonna put in their own court systems? Are they gonna put in schools?
Yes, they
are.
Have
they gonna
to.
Put, I mean, then why, I just don't understand why they want all that infrastructure, except to maybe show that, prove that they can do it.
I think, Randy, that's a question that really needs to be vetted. I think, and I have had conversations with blockchains on this, I think from their perspective is that while they could do this in Story County to a degree, Story County, as you know, particularly in Nevada and rural Nevada, we pride ourselves on our way of life. Mm-hmm. And we have an established quality of life and we have an established way of doing things. I think that from blockchain's perspective is that by coming in there and putting 4,000 or 5,000 homes, they dramatically change the political dynamic in that county, right? So even in an incorporated city, they dramatically change the political dynamic. Realistically, is the county in a position where they're ready to accept that and embrace that? And I think that's why, that's their perspective of why they're doing this, in addition to the freedom to build this blockchain that none of us understand, this blockchain.
I call it Star Trek.
Economy.
When you think of the cities in Star Trek, that's what I'm thinking.
So. You're exactly right.
Okay, so Helen, just to make this clear, the way that I've explained this is, because we all have cell phones, we have no idea how they work, but we use them all the time. To me, blockchain technology is a sophisticated form of accounting. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you just lay it out like that, you don't have to understand how the technology works to make it work. But one other question I wanted to throw in here to this discussion is the loss down the road of tax revenue to Story County, because if this city takes off, then that revenue, even though a small portion of it may go back to Story County for a while, the large revenue will stay with that city.
Well, the reason why TRI is there is because Story County stepped up to the plate and fast-tracked everything. That's why Tesla came, because they didn't have the obstacles they would have found so many other states and so many other counties. And so you gotta hand it to Story County for being there and allowing all of this to happen. Can they handle the huge growth of residential? I hope so. I mean, we need a lot more residential in Northern Nevada. Your prices on homes have skyrocketed. The availability is nil. So something has to happen. But I think that they can do it in a partnership, maybe a city working within a county. But that's just my opinion.
Okay, so Randy, that's been one of the selling points for the governor and GOED, is that this is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs, which means hundreds of thousands of homes. We're already 50,000 homes behind today, just on what we have here. Also throw in the fact that If Story County was able to handle the largest factory in the world, the Tesla Gigafactory, why would they not be able to handle whatever was thrown down the pike at them?
Water?
Well, okay.
Your 15,000 homes, you need water.
Okay, no. I'm not disagreeing on that.
Sorry.
And Pete Goicoechea addressed that on the program a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
That they're going to get potentially some water from Gerlach, but they're going to need a whole bunch more. Yeah. And perhaps they're looking at that water from the Humboldt River to be able, the excess floodwaters to utilize. But I'm just talking about, that Story County has handled the Gigafactory. I'm not even looking at the resources. I'm just saying if they can handle Elon Musk, and Elon Musk says that Story County is the can-do county, why not?
That's what I'm just saying. I don't understand why they're not willing to work with their former partner, with Lance Gilman. At least they had a great relationship, and I don't understand why they're not working with them, except that they want to set up this experimental town or city that is, from what I'm understanding, these homes are going to be purchased with money. They're going to be purchased with Bitcoin. I mean, you're not going to have a currency in this area. If you go to the restaurant in the area and you go to the daycare center, you're going to be paying in cryptocurrency and not in dollars. So your property taxes will be paid in cryptocurrency. So it's setting up their own little utopia, as they call it, and that has nothing to do with outside of Story County. And I don't know how Story County, even though I think it's a can-do county, could probably work with them to implement some of these cryptocurrency situations. But it's just we just need to learn more about it.
All right, let me change the topic here. We've got hearings now on the bill about getting rid of natural gas. And it seems like Assemblywoman Cohen is backing off of this a little bit. In terms of natural gas having to go away. But it just seems like the powers that are aligned against this bill are huge. What are your thoughts on its likelihood of survival?
Well, the likelihood of survival, I think in its current form, it's probably slim. I think the fact that it's forced a conversation will have the effect of creating a long-term, more collaborative effort for several of these organizations, as well as the legislatures, to address these issues.
So you're talking about, let's start out with Southwest Gas, NV Energy, Builders,
the list goes
on.
Groups from the unions, from all sides coming together. And I think it's because
huge.
It's such an abrupt and dramatic shift, right? It's something that we haven't planned for. It's something that we haven't worked for. And the unintended consequences of something like that, there is no question. Prices will go up for Nevadans, particularly in the short term, and usually the biggest consequences will be on Nevadans that can least afford them. Mm-hmm. If I can afford electric utilities, I'm going to go get electric utilities or electric appliances. But certainly, those people that can't aren't going to, and therefore their costs of living are going to go way up in the short term. But I do think that it would be silly for any of these groups to not look at where the legislature desires to go in the future and to start to put together a plan for how that's going to be addressed in the long term, to where the impact on Nevadans isn't nearly as significant and the benefit is far greater. We're not there yet, and I think that's why this bill is going to have a hard time surviving.
Helen, it was interesting, as surprised and shocked as I was about this whole getting rid of gas situation was, last weekend in reading the New York Times, there was a major piece on Shell Oil writing down a lot of their of the gas reserves because of the direction that the country is taking with potentially getting rid of natural gas or using a lot less of it. It seems to me the cost, just to the homeowner, that you would have to trade out all of your appliances if you have gas at your house, your hot water heater, your furnace, your stove. I mean, that cost alone would be unbelievably significant.
Well, there are very few bills at the legislature that affect everyone so dramatically. In Southern Nevada, we are not allowed to have wood-burning fireplaces. We have to use gas. That's what we do. And if you ever seen an electric fireplace, they're pretty tacky. Maybe they could figure out how to make them, a little more desirable. But, anyone who cooks, who is a chef in their home, you tell them that you're going to have to rip away their gas stoves. Those are fighting words. What about barbecues in the backyard? I mean, we use all of these things. But I'll tell you one thing with the legislative process that really ticked me off yesterday. We had an hour and a half with the proponents, and they fully vetted things. And then we had the president of the power company, the president of the gas company, and they were given 2 minutes and they were cut off. And, you know, I mean, what kind of process is that? I know that because of this virtual reality that we have with the legislature right now, it hasn't been fair, and they really need to rethink this, because as you're listening to the testimony, you think, boy, this is a real win for NV Energy, you know, and then the president of NV Energy gets up there in opposition. So, you know, there's a lot more discussion. You know, Leslie Cohen said, this is inevitable, and maybe it will be, but I remember when the metric system was going to be inevitable also during the Reagan administration. Everybody better just forget about inches and miles, we're going metric. Well, you know, the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada, all of their buses run on natural gas, and they invested millions of dollars in order to do that, to make our world cleaner. And now it's all thrown out. I think we need to slow down a little bit and rethink this.
Okay, and just one last comment here to Randy, which is, you know, what's going to happen with the investment already made in gas-fired power plants that Senator Reid pushed so hard to get NV Energy away from coal for generating electricity and to renewables and natural gas? Mm-hmm. And then if somebody wants to have a new natural gas plant, what will be the lifespan of that, and therefore what will be the cost for the public?
Well, I think, so the challenge is Nevada and the nation wants to get to carbon net free by 2050. So let's do some studies on how we can get there. The fact that we don't regulate gases in homes, which is, believe me, Helen, my husband would fight tooth and nail to keep his gas stove.
Me too.
So yes, I would say, I mean, if you're a chef, you want your gas stove. I can't see a Chinese restaurant that needs really hot woks to go natural, to go electric. But we have incredible infrastructure, and we've got to regulate. We've got to look at natural gas as probably one of the more friendly fossil fuels. But let's look at getting rid of the coals and the other dirtier stuff to protect and allow for the use of natural gas. There's got to be a way to blend it in and maybe reduce its use, but to take it out of residential homes, and it's just, yeah, the infrastructure is just not. It's not able to absorb that kind of a shift.
Right.
It really isn't.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails, featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Helen Foley, Randy Thompson, and Mike Draper. Helen, it appears at this point in time that the U.S. Senate race for Nevada is going to be Catherine Cortez Masto, and it appears that Adam Laxalt would be the Republican candidate. How do you feel about that?
Bring it on. I think Catherine's doing a tremendous job, and that race should be very fun.
Randy, it was interesting. Pete Goicoechea off the air said to me that he thought that Catherine was doing a good job in rural Nevada, which was interesting.
So I've reached out and had a couple of Zoom meetings with her with various clients, and she has been open to listening to us, especially small business concerns. I think she's got to vote with a majority, but I think she and Senator Rosen are both really kind of taking that middle approach and being very reasonable Democrats. They
Do
really
you think
are.
Adam Laxalt is the candidate on the Republican?
I'm surprised. I thought with John Lee switching to Republican that he might face her. So yeah.
Mike Draper.
I think Senator Cortez Masto is going to be very hard to beat. She's very accessible. She's very straightforward. And even if you don't agree with her politics, all we can ask for our electeds is to be accessible, to be straightforward, and to work for the greater good of the whole, and I think she's done a pretty good job of doing that, I think it's going to be very hard.
Do you think Adam Laxalt is a candidate on the Republican side?
I think that he will mount, he's worthy of considering, but I don't think at the end of the day he will be the candidate on the Republican side. I think there's a lot of people that'll start to line up.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you for a great show. You guys were terrific. Really appreciate it, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.